Welcome to the Preacher's Corner, brought to you by In-House Productions with your hosts, Pastor JT and Lady Fanita. Listen to this podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. And you can find us at our website at thepreacherscorner.net, on Facebook at The Preacher's Corner, and IG at the.preacherscorner.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. We're back again for Freedom Fridays. I'm Pastor JT. This is back in the building for another Freedom Friday. Man, special shout out to our new sponsor. Shout out to our new sponsor, Three Young Queens. Man, if you are in the market for getting some new shea butter and oils, you can do so by visiting threeyoungqueens.net. That's threeyoungqueens.net. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Another Freedom Friday. We in the building. The lady has already said she's with us. One more time. Who with us?
Lady Fanita.
Amen. We're back in the building. We're back in the building once again. Another Friday. We done made another Friday closer to episode 200. Give God praise wherever you are for being able to reach 200 episodes as quickly as we have. Shout out to the Philippines.
Yes.
The people in the Philippines that are listening, they have us currently ranked at 194. I thank God for your support and all of the listeners across the globe. We are in this thing. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And we have another Freedom Friday sermon coming up in just a moment. Here we go. Here we go.
Hallelujah. This is the air we breathe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would grab your Bibles. Amen. We're going to go right into the Word of God. Amen. I'm going to be coming from Matthew, the 16th chapter, the 24th through the 26th verse. Matthew 16, 24 through 26. Amen. When you have it, say amen. Amen. And it reads, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God for the readers, the hearers, and doers of his holy word. Amen. I think it was I just thought it was a different translation in the other Bible. Amen. If you would, just hold your hands up towards heaven. Say, "Lord, I know I want to make it in. Help me in this life." Say, "Because I know that if there's no cross, there's no crown." Come on, look at your neighbor and tell them, First Lady's going to preach about no cross, no crown. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Amen. That the definition or the meaning behind no cross, no crown, amen, is this: just as Christ could not achieve the kingdom of heaven without suffering crucifixion on the cross, so no one can expect to achieve anything worthwhile without pain. If we are to follow Christ, we must make up our minds to suffer trouble and self-denial. Amen. I know that's a hard pill to swallow. I've been having a drink behind these scriptures all week. Amen. You know, I was sitting, I was thinking, I said, I know I'm a little weird to people. You know, some people think that I'm kind of, you know, flaky or whatever, kind of weird to some. But God has changed some things in me. And I realized that I want my crown. And in order to get to it, amen, in order to get my crown, I have to go through a cross, amen, which has my name on it. Amen. That causes me to pray a little bit harder than some. Amen. It causes me to press in his presence a little harder than others. Amen. It moves me to read and study my word harder than others. Amen. So I don't have time to go back and forth with people or lose focus on what God has set before me, because I realize that I have a crown that I'm fighting for and you do too. Amen. Amen. So I know that I don't have time, amen, to go back and forth, because I got bigger things to worry about. Amen. I'm at this age, I am totally sold out, y'all. I'm sold out. Amen. Can anybody in here say that honestly out of your mouth tonight? I am sold out. My heart is fixed. My mind is made up. I am sold out. Amen. And what God caused me to realize is that I have a devil to fight. Amen. And I have a race to run, and I can't focus on nothing else but winning. Amen. I'm like Paul. Amen. My brother, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, and that is forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm reaching forth unto those things which are before me. And he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Amen. I got heaven in my view, y'all. So I realized no cross, no crown. Amen. And in this passage, amen, if you know, amen, this is a very familiar passage. Amen. And if you know, like I know, so many things were going on that were, and people were trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. But he knew if he didn't go to the cross, there would be no crown. Amen. I'm going to try to stay at this mode, amen, and not get too excited. Amen. Amen. This is a pressing way. Amen. And like Job said, he said that a man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. Amen. Why are you talking about trouble tonight, First Lady? Why you keep saying that? I done heard suffering and trouble too many times. Amen. And it's because something is coming upon us. Amen. And God wants us to know that we have to suffer and that we will go through some trouble. Amen. So Job said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days. Amen. We're not on this earth long, but our life is full of trouble. Amen. So I want to go to the passage. Amen. And in this passage in 24, he said, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man wishes to follow me, amen, if you want to be my disciple, he must deny himself, amen, refuse what you want, amen, set aside your selfish interests, and take up your cross, amen. But I want to stay there for just a second, because in my notes, amen, I wrote, amen, that when Jesus said unto his disciples, he was saying this to them, turning to them out of anger, and we'll get to that at the end. But he turned to them to get them right on together, amen, by letting them know that because they had to receive into the mind and to retain the same notion that of the temporal kingdom. You know, when people get saved, they want their riches now. When people get saved, they think, oh, we're going to get the white picket fence and the big house and the car, and we want all our big stuff now. Amen. But this world, this life is temporal. We won't be here always, and some of us won't get that white picket fence. Some of us won't get that house or that nice car that you've been working so hard for. Amen. But God said, we must deny ourselves. Amen. So he said, in the same notion of a temporal kingdom that they needed to know, and that we're in expectation of worldly riches and honor and pleasure, he took this opportunity of preaching the doctrine of the cross to them and letting them know that they must prepare for persecution, suffering, and death if possible. amen, which they must expect to endure as well as he did if they would be his disciple. Amen. Most of the time people like to say, well, I'm saved, you know, because you get the position and, you know, you get to do what you want to do, or you get to preach, or you get to sing on a praise team. People are looking at the temporal side of it, but they don't realize the persecution and the heartache that we suffer because we are following after Christ. Amen. Amen. So he said, you must deny yourself. Amen. Refuse what you want. Amen. How many times do we get in trouble? Amen. Because we want to do one thing and we know God is telling you to do something else. Amen. It feels so good to the flesh to do the wrong things. Amen. Paul said it best. He said, I would do right. Amen. But every time I try to do good, evil is always present. He said, there is a war going on in my members. And every time I will to do the right thing, something keep making me do wrong. Amen. We all got that same issue in our flesh. Amen. But he said you have to refuse what you want. Amen. It's a such thing as telling your flesh, no, not today. Amen. It's a such thing as telling your flesh, amen, that God is in control. Amen. He said, then the next thing, he said, if any man will come after me, that is to be a disciple and a follower of Christ. It means being used for the master to go before and then the disciples to follow after him. Amen. Now let it be who it will, the rich or the poor, learned or unlearned, young or old, male or female, that have an inclination and a desire or have took up a resolution in the strength of grace to be a disciple of Christ. You got to be a soldier to be in this army. Amen. You got to have thick skin to be in this army. Amen. I'm going to preach you happy in just a second. Let me lay the foundation because we're going to go back and hear some stuff, y'all, that blew me away. Amen. When he said, let him deny himself. Amen. Amen. What he meant here was deny sinful self. Amen. Ungodliness and worldly lust, and part with those things. Amen. And his former sinful companions. Amen. Sometimes we hold on to people that God wants us to let go. But we're going to talk about that in a minute too. Amen. Which were as a part of himself. Amen. He said, let him deny righteous self. And renounce all of his own works of righteousness in the business of justification and salvation. Let him deny himself the pleasures and the profits of this world. When in competition with Christ, amen, let him drop and banish all your notions and expectations of this earthly kingdom, amen, and worldly grandeur, and think of nothing but reproach, persecution, and death. For the sake of the Lord and Master in our life. To take up our cross, amen, means to express a willingness to endure whatever come your way. Amen. Amen. It says to take up your cross means to cheerfully receive, amen, and patiently bear every affliction and evil, however shameful and painful it may be, which is appointed for him, and he is called unto it, which is his peculiar cross, as every Christian has his own peculiar cross. Look at your neighbor and say, you got your own peculiar cross. I know I be trying to help you out on this walk, but you got your own peculiar cross. Amen. That's why God told me, don't feel some type of way when you feel like people are not receiving. Give them the word, because they got their own peculiar cross. They got to work out their own soul salvation with fear and with trembling. Amen. Amen. God said, he said that we have our own peculiar cross, as every Christian has his own, to which he should quietly submit and carry with an entire resignation to do the will of God, in imitation of his Lord. You know, I like the scripture when he say that God would do anything, like, you know, when he said that he laid aside everything, he did that because he wanted to please God, to have the mind of Christ, and to do what he did, which is say, I deny everything else that I want to do, and I want to take up the will of my Father. That's exactly what we have to do on this route. Amen. Amen. The Bible says the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but to the one that endured to the end. You got to go through some things. Amen. If you want your crown. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, you're going to have to go through some things if you want that crown. Amen. We're going to have to lose some things. Amen. Some folk going to talk behind our back. Amen. Folks going to lie on you. Amen. Walk off and leave you. But remember, we got to be tried by the word of God. Amen. We got to be tried by the words of our testimony. Every time you tell somebody about the goodness of Jesus or whatever he has done for you, have you noticed you have to be tried by that testimony you just gave somebody? Something is due. You got a pink slip in the mail and you thought, Lord, for sure I paid all my bills, but something comes on you to get you off course because the devil is mad because you testified to the goodness and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, help me preach tonight. I'm trying to stay calm, y'all. God said, he said, the Bible says, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he has tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. Amen. He comes in at the latter part of that verse because he tells us three things. Anybody want to follow me, you got to deny yourself. Then you got to take up your cross. And then the third thing, you got to follow me. Amen. He said, then you got to follow me. That means believe in me wholeheartedly. God said, that means believe in me. Don't you know there's some people that sit in church with you every Sunday and every Wednesday that don't even really believe God is who he say he is? They don't even believe that God can take them from one place to the next. They think it's coincidence. Somebody calling Cleo. You know, folks is playing with them tarot cards real tough now. Somebody calling them 1-800 numbers. They wearing them cloaks around their neck for peace and love and hair grease, and that ain't where we get our peace from. But God told me to let somebody know tonight that if you plan on following him, you got to believe him with your whole heart. Amen. That believe in this sentence means to be convinced that I am the true and living God. To accept me as true. Accept what I carry as truth. Amen. Accept my word as truth. Amen. No matter what it looks like. He said, conform it to my example in living, amen, like I do, amen. He said to comply with my rules and my standards for living holy. If you keep my laws, amen, that's what follow me means. I'm going to pause right there because on my notes I wrote, as for following Jesus in the exercise of grace as humility, zeal, and patience, and self-denial, and in discharge of every duty, moral or evangelistical, and through suffering and death to his kingdom and glory, the allusion is to Christ is bearing his own Christ, and then Simon carrying it after him, which afterwards come to pass. Amen. So now, here we go. We're going to go with it now, y'all. So I'm going to tell you again. So believing God means to be convinced that he is true and the living God, to accept him as true. Has everybody done that part? Is everybody conforming to his example of the way he lives? He said to comply with my rules. That means to live by the word of God. He said to comply by my rules and standards for living holy. And if you keep my law, those are the people I know that believe in me. Because when you do what God tell you to do out in his word, that means I'm too scared to do anything else. I trust that he's going to come back one day for me. Amen. And I want to get my crown. Amen. Amen. God told me, amen, when I was studying this, he said, make sure that you let them know. Amen. And say, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of the faith that you have in Jesus Christ may be necessary. Suffering or perhaps dying because of the faith in him may be necessary. The Bible says it like this. I love this scripture, y'all. It says, it is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Amen. The verse 25 says, for whoever wishes to save his life in this world, talking about do what you want to do in this world, will eventually lose it through death. But whoever loses his life in this world for Christ's sake will find it, that is, in this life, and then find a life in eternity with Christ. Amen. Number 26 says, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world talking about wealth and fame and success. Amen. I don't care how much money I got. I don't care how much money I make. I can't forfeit my soul. I don't care how many people walk away from me. I can't forfeit my soul. I don't care how good anybody else looks outside of my husband. I can't forfeit my soul. I don't care who walk away from this church. I can't forfeit my soul. I don't care who like me and who don't. I cannot forfeit my soul. Amen. I don't care what's going around me. I cannot afford to forfeit my soul. Amen. I don't even care what things I lose along the way, y'all. I just can't afford to forfeit my soul. Amen. There's nothing in the earth or under the earth that can make amends to us for the loss of our souls. There is nothing in this life that will give in, that I would give in exchange for my soul. Is there anything in this life that you love more than your soul? Is there anything in this life that you're willing to give up? Is there anything that you're playing with right now that is going to take up the place of your soul if God came back for you tonight? Is there anything that will separate you from God tonight and that will cause you to forfeit your soul? Lord, have mercy. He said there is nothing under the earth, y'all, or in the earth that is worthy of me forfeiting my soul. He said, ain't nothing that he gave us. Everything we got is his. Everything belongs to Jesus. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything that walk in it and live in it. Everything that breathed in it belongs to him. He said, there is nothing that he's created on this earth, in it, under it, or around it, that should cause you to forfeit your soul. He said, not wealth, not fame, not success. And don't you know that these kids now, they selling their soul, baby, to rise to the top in this music industry. Then they doing it and roaring 666 and dancing and doing all kind of nasty, provocative mess that ain't of God or in the Bible. God talks against it. It's contrary to the word of God, but they're doing it to rise to the top. Look at your neighbor and tell them, ain't nothing that I'm going to take for this world and replace for my soul. Nothing. I ain't gonna be able to do it. He said there is nothing in this life that we should give in exchange for our souls. The world and everything in it is temporal. Look at somebody and tell them it's temporal. It won't be here always. Everything in this world is temporal. That's me, that's you, that's your boo, your bae, your kids, that's your money, your bank, your car, your house. All of this stuff is temporal. It won't be here forever, but guess what will? Your soul. God say, but your soul is eternal. Look at your neighbor and tell him, no cross, no crown. The Bible says it like this, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So then Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear the sins of the people, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. Look at somebody and ask him, are you waiting for him? High five your neighbor if you're waiting and tell him, she talking about me because I'm waiting on him. Come on, high five somebody else. Tell her, she talking about me because I'm waiting on him. Lord, have mercy. When God told me that and he took me to that scripture, I said, oh, my God. Think about what God is telling us. He said he came the first time to cleanse us from our sins. Now you have given us a roadmap on how to live. You've done it. You've walked in your flesh. You know what it is that we're being tempted by. You made it out all right. You died. Now you came back. But this time when you return for us, it won't be to cover nothing else for us. It won't be to cover nothing else. He said, I'll appear the second time, not to bear sins, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for me. I came to pick my people up. Amen. Amen. So this passage seemed to be a very pivotal moment in the ministry of Jesus. I love this. I went back and read a couple of chapters ahead. And the reason why I say pivotal, y'all know what that means. Crucial, of crucial importance in relation to the development or success of something else. This was important for them to know. It may not be, you know, one of them hoop and holler messages because it hurt. It's a sacrifice. But this is very important because it's telling you how to follow him. And if you do what he said, and telling us how to follow him, you'll get your cross, I mean your crown, right? But I said that it's very pivotal because of what happened a couple of verses back. In this passage, we learn quickly that we have two choices. We can either save our life or lose our life. Look at your neighbor and tell them the choice is yours. Whatever you choose, the choice is yours. I don't know about you, but I refuse to allow what God has done for me to go unnoticed. I refuse to allow what God has placed inside of me to die because I can't tell my flesh no. I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to go back. Because the reason why I wrote that part, that I refuse to let what God has done for me go unnoticed, because sometimes I come in church and because there's such a heavy dead weight in the atmosphere, amen, I don't push the way I know I can push. I just go with the flow. So if you want to raise your hands, then we'll raise our hands. If you don't feel like it, I don't push you to raise your hands. But if I don't praise God for what he's done for me, matters of what you feel out there or what you're going through, God said, you're letting what I've done for you go unnoticed. Whenever you don't raise your hand and give me glory based on what you see other people do, you're telling me I ain't done nothing for you. But he said, every time you step in the house of God, you ought to be giving me some praise. He said, for the mere fact that you woke up this morning, for the mere fact that you got your right mind, I just pray for some people that lost their mind. They going to the hospital right now. But I still got my right mind, and so do you. God says, stop letting what I've done for you go unnoticed, as if I hadn't done anything for you. And then he told me to stop allowing what you have placed, what he's placed on the inside of me, to die because I can't tell my flesh no. That's merely saying, you know, it's some days I just don't feel like fasting. There's some days we just don't feel like reading. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. I may not have as many as y'all. Y'all may not have as many as me. I'm just being honest. But y'all know what I'm talking about, because there's some day I had this Bible in the bed with me, I go to sleep with it, I wake up and I be like, and the Lord said, try to pick up where I left off at, you know, try to find it and pick up where I left. I say, Lord, forgive me, Jesus. But it's just some days, you know, you just don't feel like all of that. But I told God, I refuse to allow what you placed on the inside of me to die, because I can't keep my eyes open when they should be reading. I refuse to let what's on the inside of me die because I don't feel like getting down on my knees and give you glory that I know you're worthy of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, I won't let what he put in me die. Amen. Because I can't tell my flesh no. I refuse to live stuck in a carnal state of mind, not allowing the Holy Ghost inside of me to lead me. Because one thing I do know, that if I'm carnal, that's enmity between God. He's spirit. I can't be in my flesh 24/7. Some part of me of the day gotta tap into the spirit realm so I can talk to my Father. If you ain't talking to him, where is your direction coming from? If you ain't breaking that Bible open, where is your strength coming from? If you ain't laying out on your face, please tell me where you're getting your information from. Lord have mercy. I told him I won't do that no more. I refuse to live stuck in a carnal state of mind, not allowing him to lead me and guide me into all truth. Amen. Ain't like he lead me to the wrong place. Amen. The Bible said the Holy Ghost will lead and direct you into all truth. Amen. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Anybody that come to the Father got to come through me. Amen. So he's not going to lead me the wrong way. Amen. But it's hard for us to allow him to lead us in this hour. Amen. And I know exactly what it is. Amen. We're going to hit that in a minute. Amen. But when I decided that I would live for God and serve him with my whole heart, y'all, I was tried on every side. It was like hell had been notified and every imp employed was working against me. It was so bad that I had to sit down and evaluate my life. I started thinking that I'd done something wrong. I'm talking about when I first got saved. And it was like, good Lord. Now, when I was out there in the world, everything was good. Even being on drugs, I hadn't, you know, I lost some things, but not everything. I was doing better than I was once I said yes to God. Seemed like everything I owned, I lost it. All of my friends walked away from me, and I had to sit down and say, what did I change in my life that caused all of hell to come after me? amen, to cause all this drama in my life. And instantly I remember something that my dad had told us, amen, when he preached one time. He said, you got to remember that when all hell is let loose on you, it's because the enemy found out you changed partners on him. Amen. The devil doesn't bother the people that are already healed. Amen. That's why come you can look on the internet, on Facebook and all that, and your friends are turning up. I mean, they at the club, they cheering and you know, saying, you know, hey, y'all know how we do in the club. We all been there before. Hey, they doing that and cheering to each other and going on and give me another round. And we doing shots and licking the salt off them dirty glasses that somebody was drinking off of last week that had COVID, but that's another story. And because we still belong to him, he don't bother you. He don't bother us when we belong to him already. It's when we make up in our mind that we're going to switch partners. Amen? They're going to do exactly what the devil wants them to do when they belong to him. But when you belong to God, you're going to do exactly what God tells you to do. Amen? One of the things that I had to do was disconnect from people. Amen. You know, I thought about something. I said, you know, I hear in testimony services, you know, for years, I hear people come in and say, I got delivered from smoking and drinking and cussing and fornicating. And I thank God I'm married now. And, you know, I don't have to go through all of that no more. Whatever the case may be, I got a new job. But we never say, I thank God that he delivered me from people. I never heard nobody say, I thank God he delivered me from people. Ever. But one thing I had to do, I learned I had to disconnect with people that didn't have the same mindset that I had. Look at verse 21 with me, 16 to 21. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. He's talking to the disciples, right? Telling them, hey, this is what's going to happen. I got to go. Got to go before the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders. And I got to be killed, but I'll be raised again on the third day. Peter. Y'all know Peter. Fighting Peter. Cussing Peter. The Peter that always want to make commitments to God that he can't keep. Peter said, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Jesus. Whoa, wait a minute. Peter took Jesus and rebuked him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. This is what got me. But he turned, Jesus turned, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of man. My God, today, let's work it out. Now, I'm going to read the pastor's version when it came to Peter. It say, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it to you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. My Bible say you are an offense. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. I like that version too. Something stood out to me in the verses prior. Peter always tried to show his commitment to Jesus in one form or another. And it backfires every single time. Ain't that like us? Every time we try to show our commitment to God, it backfires on us every single time. But it was interesting to me to know that when Jesus told the disciples that he was going to suffer and be killed but will be raised on the third day, Peter got angry, and like most Christians, he perceived only the negative. Wasn't looking at the big picture. Peter rebuked Jesus and told him this wasn't going to happen to him. Jesus, this cannot be what God intends for you. That's what he was saying, in other words. There must be a different way. This is not what our deliverer ought to do. not the Messiah. But look what Jesus said to his beloved Peter. Thou art Peter. Unto my Peter, the one he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell should not prevail against it. He told that same Peter, he said, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense. In other words, telling him, you are a stumbling block unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of man. When I initially read it, I thought, woo, that was a bit much now, Lord. You didn't have to call the man Satan. The man been riding with you. He didn't cut off ears. The man that he done been there with you at the suppers and everything. He done walked with you. I said, that was a bit much for him to call the man Satan. But as I thought on it, Jesus was offended because Peter had walked with him. He was offended because when he did cut off the ear, he chastised him and put it back on. He saw how he reacted to people as he walked through, being ridiculed and criticized. He saw how he was treated by the scribes and the Pharisees and the elders, and Jesus never acted a donkey with them like we would have. He was offended because Peter was trying to stand in the way of the plan of God for his life, trying to disrupt his destiny. And now the man whose voice once spoke for the oracles of God is now speaking Satan's lies. This ain't what God would have for you to do, Jesus. This is not what the master's supposed to be doing. Now, you're not going to go up there and they're going to kill you. Kind of remind you of the Garden of Eden when he say, you're not going to surely die. Lord have mercy. Y'all in the house tonight. He was mad at him because he tried to stand in the way, knowing he was going to die, y'all. Knowing he was going to suffer persecution, get beat, and hang on a cross for something that he wasn't guilty of. But he was angry, offended, hindered by, he felt like Peter was a stumbling block by getting in the way of the plan of God for his life. Let me just pause right here, because I know I done got in a lot of people's way and became stumbling blocks trying to help people not have to carry their own crosses. I've been in a place where God wanted people to be able to pay their own bills, be able to get on their own knees, cry out on their own behalf, and I got in the way of the plan of God. Trying to fix it. God had to tell me that. And oftentimes, you do the same thing. Oh, girl, you don't worry about that. You ain't got to do all that. God know our heart. You just stepped in the way of the plan of God for that person's life. Lord, have mercy. If Peter would have gotten in the way, he would have disrupted the ordained path, moving Jesus from suffering to the cross. If Peter would have got in the way of Jesus going to the cross, there would be no me and you. If Jesus would have let him get in the way of him going to the cross, our sins would have never been forgiven. We would have never been redeemed. Our sickness would have never been cured. It said by his stripes on that cross, we are healed. We would have never been in our right mind. We could never make the right decisions. We would never know what it is to love God, because he would have never got a chance to reunite with us. Reunited, and it feels so good. Reunited. Back with God. If he would have gotten away, we would have been in trouble. Let me help you. If you have a friend or a foe, it can even be a family member. It can be your auntie, your brother, your cousin, your auntie, your cousin, your uncle, your daddy, your boo, your bae, your sister, your stepsister, your stepbrother, your stepmama, for that matter. If they are dead set on stopping you from getting to your destiny, they are of the devil. If what they are saying is contrary to the word of God, doesn't line up with what you know to be true about God's word, they are of the devil. I don't care how much you love them, how close you are to them, you better rebuke that devil. You better know that they are not for you. If they aren't helping push you to your destiny and God-given purpose. We don't like to be pushed. We like yes men. That's why I said I'm going to take my time tonight. Y'all can get preaching all of October, okay? We'll preach and I'll break a sweat and have loose eyelashes and all that all next month. If somebody is not pushing you to be the better you, they don't love you. Y'all hear me? They don't love you. Because as much as Jesus loved Peter, he wasn't going to allow him to step in the way of the plan that God had for his life. It was a hard plan. Hard to perceive. Think about yourself. That was you getting ready to go to the cross. All they take, boy, we'd have all still been here. Lord have mercy. It would have took some of them. Girl, don't do it. Okay. You sure right. Because God, he going to send a ram in the bush. He going to send a ram like he did with Abraham. Soon as he put the knife up, there was a ram stuck in the thickets. We'll be looking for a ram. Trying to look for a way out. We would have never made it to the cross. Because we easy like that. But what God wants us to know tonight is if we plan on following after him, we got to get some strength to make our yes be yes and our no be no. If every word of God in the Bible is yes and amen, you ought to have your yes and your no when it comes to the enemy. Amen? So if they're not pushing you to your God-given destiny and purpose, they don't mean you no good. Don't let folks sit in your presence and condone what you know to be wrong in your life. You know, people like to have somebody they do wrong with. You know, they do it. I see it all the time in church. If it's somebody that ain't really living all that tough and they go to the club and then somebody find out they still go to the club, that person link up with that because that demon want to be with that demon. Notice they don't link up with people that's trying to live holy because that's not what that demon want to do. The devil links up with who he know is familiar to him. And in this hour, there has been released a familiar spirit running rampant in every single church. And I'm not talking about it just in the pews. I'm talking about even in the pulpits. It looks like God. It sounds like God. I feel something when I come in. That's your emotions. That don't mean that the Holy Ghost done drenched you because you sitting here and you got bumps on your arm. You might have the AC unit might be pouring down your way. The song may feel good till you reminded you of something that happened a long time ago. Piece of her might have fell out the vent on your arm. That don't mean that it's the Holy Ghost. And we calling the Holy Ghost, everything the Holy Ghost. But see, the Holy Ghost just don't make you jump and shout. The Holy Ghost make you live right. The Holy Ghost make you speak to your neighbors. Be good to one another and love on one another. Make you call and see what's going on with one another. The Holy Ghost just don't, it ain't that to just make you jump and holler. Holy Ghost make you obey the word of God. Uh-huh. So don't let folks sit in your presence and condone what you know to be wrong in your life. I wouldn't dare allow folk to sit in my face, skin and grin, and laugh while I'm on my way to hell. Knowing. But everybody want a sidekick. Nobody want to go to hell by themselves, but they sure don't want you to go to heaven and then them to go to hell. Y'all do know that, right? I wouldn't let them do that and laugh and kiki and ha-ha with me while I'm on my way to hell. You better get you some friends, some real friends, that's going to tell you the truth about you. People that love you tell you the truth. People that don't care, they laugh at you with everybody else behind your back. You better tell them to get out of my way, because destiny is calling for me. Because he was offended by what Peter said and how he was trying to get in the way, he now turns in the next verse and he addresses the specific call and delineation of his disciples. That's why he turns and tells them out of the blue like that. That's so crazy. After he said that to him, he rebuked Peter. Then he said to get behind me. Then he turned around and said to his disciples, if any man, he just started talking. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. You trying to mess up the plan of God in my life. And because he was mad at him, he said, and if any man, by the way, I love the way God does things. He was mad at Peter and took it out on everybody. He said, while I'm checking Peter, let me check y'all too. If you plan on following me, since y'all might be confused, just in case you confused like Peter was, let me tell you what you got to do. You're going to have to deny yourself first. Amen. You're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Then he looked at him. Is that what y'all want to do? Are you sure that's what you want to do? That word delineation of discipleship, it means to describe or portray something precisely, indicating your exact position or boundary. So he turned around and gave them the exact position they were applying for. You know how you get them jobs and they tell you all that you're going to do at the top? Because when you fill out that application, they say you're going to type, you're going to file, you might help with the lobby every now and then. When you start working, they say, oh, go and check the bathrooms. If they messed up, clean them. You say, that ain't in my job description. It's all inclusive. Anything we need, it's on the bottom of your... Uh-huh. We didn't say it, but it's part of it. But Jesus, he said, he gave them the delineation of discipleship. He gave them direct, exact, precise position and the boundaries that they must follow, that they must take. Living this life, you're going to run into a lot of road bumps because we got a lot of boundaries. We got things we cannot do if we want to live holy. But a lot of us just omit them and do it anyway. But he gave them the delineation of discipleship of what it really takes and what it really means to follow him. Amen. How many plan on following God no matter what? I'm going to follow him all the way, y'all. I don't care what it looks like. My mind is made up and my heart is fixed. I'm going all the way with God. Amen. You know why? Because my life depend on it. My life depends on it, and guess what? So does yours. Whatever you do, choose carefully. Because the Bible says, and being found in fashion as a man, Jesus humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Because of his obedience, God also had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, this was his reward, y'all. After he had went and faced persecution and went before the elders and the scribes, and got judged and then went to the cross. After that, it says, because he was obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross, he was highly exalted by God. And God had given him a name above every name. That at his name every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. You and everything around around you with knees gonna bow to his name. Whether you follow him, deny him, take up your cross or not, it say everything, every knee shall bow. That's the donkeys, that's the pigs, that's the grasshoppers, that's the plants and the, oh, y'all laughing, but I'm, it say every knee gonna bow. It didn't say the human knees gonna bow. It say every knee. And then it broke it down. It say everything in heaven, the things in the earth, and the things under the earth gonna bow. Can y'all see the whales in the lake bowing? Bowing on them fins. Because that name's so sovereign. Lord, have mercy. God told me, he said, you tell my people that them and everything around them with knees will bow down and worship me, voluntarily or involuntarily. So look at your neighbor and tell them one more time, no cross, no crown. I think it's very important for those of us who are really trying to live holy, not to be hoodwinked. This is not an easy way. This is a pressing way. It's a pressing way. This way make you get by yourself and cry at night. This way of have you wondering, what's wrong with me that don't nobody else want to be around me? What's so bad about me that don't nobody want to be my friend? When all you trying to do is live holy. What did I say? What did I do that the people don't like me? I would really love to be friends with some first ladies. But for some reason, they just didn't take to me that day when we went to eat. So I was wondering, what did I do? Was I stinking? I mean, did I say something wrong? We was all telling stuff, you know. What was it? And God told me, I didn't make you for everybody. I didn't make you for everybody. And guess what? I'm all right with that. I'm all right with my phone ringing and I can just about pinpoint who it is. It's going to be Brother Waylon, especially if it's FaceTime, Sister Kenza, or Chris, because I'm going to be with Pastor. And if I ain't with Pastor, it's going to be Pastor. But God told me I'm not for everybody, because he set me apart. I got a bigger job. Maybe he'll use me to be an example. Amen. But he told me that for those that are really trying to live holy, don't be discouraged. You can do these things. You already got a heart to come after him. All you got to do now is fully deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow him. You can do it, but it's going to be hard. He said, but I don't want them to be hoodwinked. He said, we are fighting for our eternal crown, and we still have to live and operate under a certain code of conduct while we wait on his return. This is what the Lord told me, y'all. Listen to what he's telling us. He said, I don't want them to be hoodwinked, those who are really trying to live holy. It's going to be hard, but it can be done. He said, we are fighting for an eternal crown and still have to live and operate under a certain code of conduct while we wait on his return. Being saved alone brings its own cross to bear. This is the message from the Lord. He said, being saved alone brings its own cross. But then when you cross over and say, I want to be sold out, that brings a whole nother cross to bear. He said, just being saved, accepting me as your personal savior, believing in your heart that I died and rose again for your sins, that you may be saved, that has its own cross. The fact that you believe in somebody you can't see, that's faith. He said, that brings its own cross. So be mindful. Listen closely. Be mindful, because your flesh must die daily. He said, begin today crucifying your flesh. It has to die daily. He said it again. The devil must be resisted daily. I don't care who it is in your life. You can't give him no ground. Amen. Can't give him no ground. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, stand to your feet. God said we can't give the devil no ground. I remember when I was growing up, they sung a song that say, don't let the devil ride. They say, don't let the devil ride. Because if you let him ride, he'll want to drive. Don't let him ride. If he get in your car, he got you. If he get in your car, he got you. Don't let him ride. Don't let him ride. Come on, look at your neighbor and tell him, don't let him ride. Because then he gonna want to drive. Don't let him do it. Don't be tricked in this hour. You better know that if you don't carry that cross, you will not receive your crown. We are fighting, y'all, to see God, to live again. See, the Bible says it's appointed to every man. I read it earlier, to die once. But when you die, you want to be able to live again. I don't want to die and go to hell. It's a process to the people that's going to hell. They ain't just going, they in hell right now, but when the rapture take place, it's going to be worse on this earth. Then he going to come back and they're going to be put in the lake of fire. Going to be gnashing of teeth, crying, begging people, please, somebody help me. We don't want you to be down there like the rich young ruler. When he went to hell, he told Lazarus, he wanted Lazarus to just touch his lips with something cool. He said, there's a gulf between me and thee. I couldn't get to you if I wanted to. God went already and prepared a place for us. Now it's up to us to work out our own soul salvation. With fear and with tremor. You gotta almost walk on pins and needles every day. If that's what it takes, do it. It's worth your soul, ain't it? Start tonight. Sit down and write you a list. What I'm gonna change starting this week. Don't wait, because I didn't say do it. God said do it today. Write down what you're going to change. How you going to change it. What you going to do to do better. Because 2022 is going to be a booger bird. I want to make sure that if something happened to me, I'm going to be in glory. Say to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I want to hear him say, well done. Thou good and faithful servant. Amen. Amen. Come on, just lift your hands up toward heaven. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. God, for divine direction. God, for leading us, God, into all truths. Giving us how to follow you. How to deny ourselves. How to take up our cross. God, now give us the strength that we need to walk this life out. We can't make it without you. Holy Ghost, we ask that you have full reign and control over our minds, our thoughts, our hands, our ears. Don't allow us to listen to anything. Don't allow us to speak contrary to your word. But every time we open up our mouths after this day, cause us to speak things that are not as though they were, so that they may become. Give us strength for our journey. God, you said in your word that you could do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God, I ignite that power that worked in us. Calls us to work it. Calls us to work it. Give us confidence in who you already created us to be. Give us confidence in the man or the woman of God that you already deemed us worthy of. Give us a hunger and a thirst after your righteousness. Calls us to lay aside every sin and the weight that will get us off course in this hour. We heard you, God, loud and clear. Time is winding up. You are calling your disciples to follow you. I want to be in that number. I don't want to be lost. I don't want to be lost when Jesus come back for me. Lord, now I pray that when these go home, we find every foul and filthy spirit that would call, that would harass them, that would discuss the word, that would get in their ears, every imp, every demon, every witch, every warlock, we cancel your assignment off of every life represented here tonight. God, you said whatever we bind on earth, that you would bind it in heaven. We bind every satanic force, every principality, every high thing that would exalt itself, every demon, every imp, every witch, every warlock, we bind them up now. Satan and his power that is so limitless against our God, we bind you now. We send you back to the pits of hell from whence you come. We renounce every demonic force, every spirit of poverty, lack, self-righteousness, lying, oppression, depression. We curse it now by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost. I come against the spirit of loneliness. I come against low self-esteem. I come against the tormenting in the mind when ain't nobody around. I come against every trick of the enemy that will cause us to backtrack. God, any addictions that we've picked up along the way, I bind them now. Every addiction, God, of smoking, God, cigarettes, marijuana, drinking drinks, God, cocktails, vodka, whatever it is, any dark liquor, curse it. I curse it now to the very root. God, you said that we can renounce what it is that we don't want. Come on, say it out of your mouth. Say, I renounce every foul and filthy spirit. Come on, say it out of your mouth. Some of y'all ain't saying nothing. Say, I renounce every foul and filthy spirit that's on the inside of me. Say, God, I don't want it. Take it away. Come on, tell him, take it away, God. Take it away like only you can, Lord. Fix my heart tonight, God. Cause forgiveness, God, to flow like never before. I bind the spirit of anger and holding grudges. I bind it up. I bind up the spirit of division that has sat in our church for way too long. Satan, you have no dominion in this house. I bind you up and I release by the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, the spirit of unity, the spirit of peace, and the spirit of love in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, God, we release your power, your anointing, and your authority to rest on every person in this house tonight, God. We thank you, God. We magnify you. We adore you, God. God calls testimonies to rise up like never before in this house, God. We're not talking about financial things, God, but calls us to seek you first, the kingdom of heaven and your righteousness. God, then we know you'll add everything we need to us, but calls us to hunger and thirst after spiritual things. Fill our cups tonight, God. Cause this word to stay on our mind. Cause us to meditate on it both night and day. And God will be so careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor, because it belongs to you. Come on now, put those blessed hands together and open up your mouth. Come on, you can do better than that. Come on, say, I've been set free. I don't care what it feels like, because God said who the Son set free is free indeed. I'm already free. I'm going to walk in my freedom. I'm going to start acting like I'm free. I'm going to talk like I'm free. Yes, God, I'm walking in the newness of life. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about what God is doing. Amen. For HOD. Amen. The way that we are going. Amen. I thank God for us being in a place where we can be sensitive and hear. Amen. When it's time to preach and holler and yell, and when it's time to teach. Amen. I can holler on any day. Y'all got it coming. Four Sunday straight. But sometimes we need to be able to hear so we can understand. Because it's one thing to hear and it bypass you, but to hear with understanding, that you're able to hide that word in your heart. So when the enemy do come in like a flood, you can demand the Holy Ghost to lift up a holy standard against it. You can demand the enemy to flee seven different ways. You can speak it out of your mouth because now you got the power to do so. Amen. Amen. Come on, one more time. Put those blessed hands together. Our pastor is coming.
Thanks so much for joining us for the Preacher's Corner with your hosts, Pastor JT and Lady Fanita. For more information, you can log on to our website at thepreacherscorner.net, Facebook at The Preacher's Corner, and IG, The.Preacher's Corner. This is an in-house production. We'll see you next time.